This morning, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, and we're going to be reading just the first 14 verses of this chapter. First Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 896 in the back section. Page 896, as this morning we look at Lord's Day 52 in the Heidelberg Catechism, just question 127 this morning. I'll read that question, we'll respond together with the answer. Question 127, what does the sixth petition mean? Well, we are nearing the end of our series on the Lord's Prayer, as this morning we come to the last of the sixth petitions, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I assume that with you, as it is with me, we have prayed this prayer many times, often taking the words of Jesus on our lips. But as we have seen throughout our study of this prayer, there is often more here than perhaps we think about. When we pray this prayer to God, lead us not into temptation. Is it the case that God leads us into temptation? Don't all temptations come from the devil? And so why would we pray to God, lead us not into temptation? And as we consider that petition, that request, what is the difference between being led into temptation and going through different trials or tests in our lives? We take these words on our lips rather lightly at times, but what does it mean to pray the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil"? That's what we're going to look at this morning as we consider the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And the first thing I think we have to recognize is that there are six petitions to the prayer, not seven. This is one petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are some who would divide this into two different petitions, therefore leaving the Lord's Prayer with seven instead of six. And they talk about how seven is the number of completion and fullness and the perfection of the prayer. If we look at the grammar of the prayer, we looked at the prayer particularly like it was last week, it is very clear. There are six petitions, not seven. This is one petition, not two. Some suggest that if that's the case, that this petition is kind of giving us a fallback position. It's a petition to God that says, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but if you can't do that, then at least deliver us from evil. And it becomes something of a conditional prayer. Lord, we hope you would do this, but we're not sure if that's even possible for you. So if you can't do the first half of the petition, at least do the second half. We saw at the beginning of our study of the Lord's Prayer that one of the ways in which we are to pray is confidently, trusting God to answer. No, this is not a conditional prayer. This is not a provisional prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but if that isn't possible for you, then do this instead. It is in many ways two phrases that say the same thing, but from two different points of view. One we might say from a negative point of view, lead us not into temptation. The other from a positive point of view, but rather deliver us from evil. Not concessive, not conditional, but two prayers saying the same. Lord, lead us not into temptation. And we recognize this prayer follows the last petition, the fifth petition. And as such, this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is a prayer for believers. It is a prayer for believers to pray. But some would suggest, is that the case? Do believers have to pray this prayer, don't lead us into temptation? We just prayed, forgive us our sins. That was the fifth petition. That was last time. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. Now, if we prayed that prayer confidently, and we believe God has answered that prayer, forgive us our sins, then why should we be concerned if we are led into temptation? After all, God really does forgive our sins. We believe the fifth petition. If he really does that, then what difference does it make? Why should temptation bother me if I know God is just going to forgive me? And so as we enter into our study of this last petition, it's important to remember that when we think about our prayers to God, when we think about God's care for us, when we think about the very nature of salvation, we recognize we pray about different facets of that salvation. We studied the facets of salvation quite a while ago. The prayer in the fifth petition, forgive us, has to do, we might say, with our justification, that one-time declaration by God that we are no longer guilty before Him. Forgive us, remove all those transgressions. This prayer, the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, has not to deal so much with our justification, that one-time declaration, but has to do with our sanctification. The ongoing process by which our lives look more like Christ. Help us to live in a way that more and more we walk with you because of what you have done, because you have forgiven us, because you've washed us, because you've cleansed us, because you've justified us. Help us now to live in a way that is pleasing to you. Lead us not into temptation, our ongoing daily walk, but deliver us from evil. When we think about this petition, lead us not into temptation, it's a little difficult to get the understanding of what we are actually praying for, because unfortunately, in the New Testament, there is one word for temptation and the very same word for trials. It is one word that can be translated in two different ways, either temptation or trial. So how do we know which one is meant here? Lead us not into temptation. Or are we praying, lead us not into testing and trial? Well, we have to be able to distinguish those two. It was about 2 years ago we did a study of the book of 1 Peter together in our evening services that talk about trials that come into the life of the believer. And trials, tests, are for the righteous only. Trials are those things that tend to draw us closer to God. When we go through times of trial, when we go through times of testing, we once again fall back on our own weakness and say, we need the Lord. And we are drawn closer to Him. The Bible uses images of the believer like gold being refined. Children, when gold is made pure, they take that gold and they heat it up really, really hot till it becomes a liquid. And then they can scoop all the impurities off the top, and that gold becomes even purer. And they can heat it again, and more of the impurities come up, and they scoop it off the top, and they make that gold as pure as possible, refined, cured, tested. It is tried by fire that it might come through pure and unadulterated. That's the picture we're given of trials in the life of the believer. They are to refine us. One refines gold, one does not refine dirt. And so we are refined in the trials of our life. Temptations are from the devil. They are not to draw us closer to God. They are to take us away from God. They are to take us away from our trust in Him. Trials draw us closer. Temptations take us away. Trials display God's grace in our lives. Because God is with us in the trial. God is with us to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to protect us. In the trials, we see the demonstration of God's grace. temptations are sent to make us feel alone and afraid. Trials remind us that God is there with us. Trials deal with matters of truth. In trials, we are confronted with the truth of the Word of God, and whether or not we will believe it and follow it. In trials, the truth is held out before us. Now, will we walk in the way of truth or will we not? Think of the Garden of Eden. Adam was told, "You may eat of any tree of the garden except for the tree in the midst of the garden. If you eat of that, you will surely die." The truth was laid out before him. And Adam was under probation, was under trial, whether or not he would obey and trust that truth. Trials deal with truth. Temptations deal with the lie. Again, think of the Garden of Eden. Satan comes, twisting the truth, changing God's word, lying to them, "You will not surely die." They are tempted by the lie. Satan's temptation to lead them away from God, not toward him, not an evidence of grace, but a matter of making them feel alone and isolated. Trials are motivated by God's love for his children. That doesn't maybe seem to make sense with us, but trials are motivated by God's love for his children. A demonstration of his love. The book of Hebrews says, "Do not reject the Lord's discipline. The Lord disciplines those he loves." And we who are parents know that in our own lives, in our own families. Kids, your parents don't discipline you because they don't love you. They discipline you because they do love you. They do love you. And they want what is best for you, best in your life. They will discipline you to help you to be able to make the right and good decisions. Trials are motivated by God's love. Temptations are evidence of hatred. The devil's hatred toward God, the devil's hatred toward us, the devil's hatred toward anything that is good and righteous. Trials are for our good, to draw us closer to God. Temptations are to lead us away. In light of the fact this is one petition, not two, in light of the difference between temptations and trials, what are we praying for when we take these words on our lips, "Lead us not into temptation"? Is it the case that God, thinking of the distinction between temptations and trials, is it the case that God would lead us into temptation? Into that which would lead us away from him. The devil would certainly do that. But we're praying to God, "God, lead me not into temptation." Does God tempt us? And I hope even now a particular text comes to your mind, the text from the book of James, James chapter 1. And again, in that chapter, we meet the distinction between temptations and trials, same word translated different ways. But James 1 verse 13 says this, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God tempts no one in the sense of leading us away from him, in the sense of that which is motivated not by love but by hate, that which isolates. No. When we pray the prayer, lead us not into temptation, we're not so much praying about those temptations that will lead us away from him. But our prayer is, lead us not into trial. Lead us not into difficulty. And you say, but wait a minute. If trials are evidence of God's grace, if they are motivated by love, why would we not want to be led in them? Aren't trials good for us then? What is the prayer praying? Lead us not into temptation in terms of trial. It's a reminder for us that although we may undergo trials, and although trials in times are for our good, even better is our determined devotion to walk in the ways of God without the need of a trial. The trials are to bring us back to God because we tend to be going in a direction away from him. The trials bring us back to God. Even better is that we consistently walk with him without the need for the trial to bring us back. Hence the prayer, lead us not into these trials. In other words, let us just walk with you. Give us a devotion. Give us a commitment. Give us a desire to live in a way that is pleasing with you without you needing to bring trials into our lives. The prayer recognizes how weak and fallen we are. And that's where our confession picks up. What does this mean? We are so weak, we cannot stand on our own for a moment. It's a recognition of our need to recognize God has to direct us. Lord God, keep us walking in your ways. Don't make the trials necessary. Lead us not in those ways. Give us strength. Give us strength that as we depend upon you, we might walk in the way that is pleasing to you. Remove our self-confidence. Place our confidence in you alone. And we say, but do we really need to pray that then? After all, we're members of the church. We're God's people. We're believers. Do we need to pray this prayer that God not bring us into trials? Aren't we strong enough ourselves? And that's where 1 Corinthians 10 comes in. That's what the people of Israel were saying. We are God's people. Of course we're fine. Verse 1, he says, we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from that rock, which was Christ. We're God's people. We're drinking from Christ himself. We're strong enough on our own. Nevertheless, verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. No, we recognize God's sovereignty over all of these things, and that we need him. We need his strength. We need his guidance and direction. And at times, that comes in terms of trials to bring us back to him. We read in verse 6, now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Don't make the trial necessary. Don't let us desire the evil. Let us simply walk in your way. But Israel would not do that. God's people would not do that. Verse 7, do not be like idolaters, as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, referring to the golden calf incident, where they failed to trust in God. They knew what was right. They knew they were to worship God alone. And yet they would, in spite of that truth, choose to go the other way. They would make a calf, something that they could see, something they could control. They failed to walk in the truth, failed to walk and to trust God and His word to them. Do not be like them, Paul says. These are the examples for us. Verse 8, we must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day, a call to purity. We know the truth. We know what is right. Don't bring us into trials that will have to direct us back. Rather, let us walk in the ways you've called us to. Verse 9, we must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Again, a lack of trust in God. How often Israel grumbled against Him. Rather than trust, God knew what He was doing. Rather than follow in the way of truth, they would grumble against the God who was leading them and walking with them. And so Paul says in verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the age has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. These things were written for us as examples, as warnings. Simply follow the truth, the path God has laid out for us, that He lead us not in these ways of trial to have to drive us back to Him again. Don't allow us to walk in these difficult ways. Deliver us from the evil path. Let us walk in your path alone. And so Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. And again, Paul in some ways uses the term in both senses, both in terms of temptation and in terms of trial. You see, he reminds us here that we must pray to God for His strength. Yes, there are difficulties out there, but God, when we look to Him, provides the way of escape that we might be able to endure, that we might walk in the ways of God, trusting He is the one who leads us and guides us, who need not bring us into trials, that we be driven back to Him, but we simply obey the word He has given to us. Again, from our confession, O Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of Your Holy Spirit, so we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies till we finally win the complete victory. Make us strong by the power of Your Holy Spirit. It is a prayer that the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us, that we walk in the ways of God and not need to be driven back to Him. Lead us not into temptation, into trial, into testing, but rather let us walk in the path of truth. Let us walk in the path of righteousness. This is our prayer to God. A prayer yet today. A prayer for believers. A prayer for those who know the forgiveness of sins because of Jesus Christ. If you don't know that truth yet, then this prayer has no meaning for you. No, first it is to recognize who Jesus Christ is, what He has done. Embrace Him as Lord and Savior. Know that your sins are forgiven. And now that God has forgiven you, He calls you to walk with Him, to walk in the paths of righteousness, to stay as close to His word as possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you need not be led into times of trial, need to be delivered from these difficulties, these evil things, but rather that wholeheartedly, by the power of the Spirit, we walk in the ways of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we know how prone we are to wander away from You, and we are thankful that when we do, You send trial and you send testing to bring us back. But we pray, Lord God, beyond that you would strengthen us by your Spirit, that we might commit to walking in your ways and need not be led into these difficult paths. Oh, Lord, we stand in need of your power. We stand in need of your strength. And so we pray that you would uphold us by your Holy Spirit, that throughout our lives we might walk in a way that brings glory and praise to you. For this will also be the path of righteousness and blessing for us. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.